what they've done. But when you begin to share about who Jesus is and what he has done, it absolutely blows people away. It says in John, we testify of what we've seen. And while I was in there, we just began to testify of different people through music, through song, of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And I explained to them that we were cutting hands out, and we're going to cut each hand out to represent a person in the church. And I said that we would like to cut hands out, your hands out, to put upon the cross. Because each person is precious to the Lord. Each person God is passionate about. Each person Jesus wants to bring into relationship with him so they can have a relationship with the Father. And the most amazing thing about Jesus upon the cross, before he went upon the cross, he showed the nature of the Father. He showed his love. He showed his compassion. And the great thing about Jesus, he never reacts as you expect him to, does he? Do you remember the story of the woman caught in adultery? Everybody was there to judge her for what she did. And Jesus said, He who is without sin cast the first stone. And what did they do? They did a runner as soon as they could. And Jesus said to her, he just looked at her in the eyes and says, are there anyone here to condemn you? And she says, no, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. Blind Bartimaeus is on the road. Jesus is walking along the road. And people are crying out to Jesus. And he's crying out in the background saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd were going, shh, be quiet, be quiet. You know, it's Jesus here, be quiet. And he shouted all the louder. And Jesus said, bring him over to me. And he says to him, dear son, what can I do for you? And he goes, sir, I want to see. And so Jesus put his hand over him and brought sight to him. That's the nature of God. That's the nature of the cross. That's the nature of who Jesus is. And then Jesus came and died upon the cross for the whole world to bring us in relationship with Jesus and to clean us from our unrighteousness. But the most amazing thing about the cross, even on the cross, the cruel, the barbaric nature of it, he was reaching out to show us what God was like. On the cross, he said to John, look after my mother. On the cross, two criminals either side of Jesus. I was telling these guys in the prison, I said, I would have been one of them. I'm one of them. I'm a sinner. I might lead a church, but I'm a sinner. Just like you, just like me. And upon the cross, Jesus was between them, an innocent man standing on our behalf. The one on one side rebuked him and said, if you're the Son of God, why do you come off the cross? And to the other one he said, I'm a sinner. Please remember me. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And you see, the cross and what Jesus has done is incredibly powerful. A few years ago, when I became a Christian, I had the privilege of going out to Fiji, to an island, which is an island out in the Pacific. And it was the capital of Fiji I went to, and I worked for a period of time in a maximum security prison. There's a theme going on here about prisons. It's not my past, by the way. It's kind of anyway. There's a guy there called Sanela who had been in the prison for a number of years, become a Christian. And he had then gone back into the prison to share with people about Jesus. And this maximum security prison was a third world. If you see the programs on TV about prisons, it was like that. It was quite a scary place to go into. And I got led into the prison through the yard, got taken into this kind of small area where I was able to meet the prisoners. And I sat there with another couple of guys. And as I sat there, this huge great guy came in with tattoos all over him. He had a tattoo chain around his neck. He had his front two teeth were missing. He was massive. And as he walked into the room, I got up and he came up to me and put his arms around me. And he said, thank you so much for coming all the way from over where you come from to come and visit me. And I looked at him in the eyes and said, because he could see in his eyes the love of Jesus and what God had done in his life. And I looked at him, I said, the reason why I've come here is to meet you so that you can show me what Jesus is like. It's absolutely amazing just seeing what it's like. Another guy in there who was an artist who was in there for the rest of his life, And he had been through all sorts of suffering and pain and all sorts of things in his background. And he had drawn a picture of Jesus upon the cross. And you know, normally when you see a picture of Jesus on the cross, it looks like kind of Mickey Mouse with a, it always kind of looks, it's kind of disappointing, isn't it? You kind of think, well, does he really look like that? You know, is that really what it's like? But I saw this picture he had done, had Jesus with a crown of thorns on him, and there's blood trickling from the thorns. You see, because the guy understood pain, because the guy understood suffering, because the guy understood what it's like to be in prison, he was able to articulate that through the picture. And when you looked at it, it absolutely moved your heart. And he gave me the picture, which I can't look at it. It just really disturbs me. It's a good thing to look at because it disturbs me in the right sense. But you really see what Christ did for us upon the cross. And so today we're here to celebrate the wonder of Jesus coming down to earth to show us what God's love is like. The wonder of him living with us and showing us what God's like. The wonder of dying upon the cross and bringing us into relationship with Jesus, with God. The wonder of giving us new life. The wonder of cleansing us from all unrighteousness. And so we come here on this wonderful day. It's great, isn't it? It's wonderful. It's fantastic what the Lord's done. Isn't it incredible? It's absolutely amazing. And so I'm going to invite Louise, who's going to come and testify of the power of the cross in her life. And I would like to invite a couple of other people who I haven't asked to come, but would like to share something of what Christ has done for them. Because we've all got a testimony, and it's all good to hear what God has done for us. Then we're going to have a final worship song, then we're going to have a blessing, and then we can go and celebrate wherever we're going to be. So Louise, shall I hold this for you? You can...
Hi, how are you doing? This is Rebecca. A lot of you have heard the story of Rebecca, but I just want to share it in full just to give it as a testimony of God's goodness and love. Rebecca's 10 months. When she was born, she was diagnosed with developmental hip dysplasia, which is basically where your hip sockets are underdeveloped or not developing correctly, or in her case, not really developing at all. And we were, first of all, so thankful that it was diagnosed, because left untreated or undiagnosed, she could end up with early arthritis and a hip replacement in her 20s and a limp and that kind of stuff. So the doctor basically recommended that the treatment would be that she would go into a cast. So at 5 months old, she went into a cast for 4.5 months, and it was from under her arms down to her toes, and it kept her in one rigid position so that her hips could develop in the right position. And it stayed on for, as I said, 4.5 months. So after 3 months, she went back in. She got a change every 6 weeks. So at the second change, she got an x-ray, and the doctor came back and basically said, it's not working at all. There's no change on the x-ray. And obviously we said, well, what does that mean? And he said, well, the next thing will be surgery at 18 months, and she'll have to go back into a cast. So needless to say, we came home and we just said, we haven't been praying enough, and we really got on our knees to Jesus and just asked him really to heal her. And I think both of us would say that something very much shifted in our relationship with God during that 6 weeks. I know a significant night for me was when myself and Graham sat down and prayed, and I just really felt God saying to give Rebecca back to him, just to give him back to Jesus. And since she's been born, I've been saying, you know, Lord, this is your child, but really this time to actually give up kind of mother control of your child, which I did, and which was really upsetting, and gave her back up to God. And basically, I was doing a Bible study at that time as well, and it was teaching me all about accepting God's dealings as good, and just no matter what he has in store for us, that if we're in his will, that it's his hand is on our life, then what he has for us is good, and we just have to trust that. And in Isaiah it says, you know, you were made in my name and you were made for my glory. And just an understanding that Rebecca was made for God's glory, no matter what happens, no matter what he has in store for her. So that was a real lesson, just to live life with that. But then we went back in mid-March, and Catherine actually had been praying that the doctor would have a look of surprise on her face, and that's exactly what happened. She came back with the x-rays and just went, they're surprisingly good. And when Graham said, what does surprising mean? She said, well, when it doesn't change in the first 12 weeks, it's unlikely to change in the last 6. So we've just been so thankful, and we've been watching Rebecca find her toes again, and You know, just being Easter, Jesus dying on the cross for us. I mean, is that not enough that he would do that? And yet he would go and just keep doing things for us. And we're just so thankful just for his peace, first of all, and for his practical love, you know. And I suppose just encourage people just to accept God's dealings as good. And that's not just to say it, to actually really feel it and say, maybe it doesn't look good from where I'm standing, but I know, Lord, that, you know, you have good things in store for us. So I think I just want to, on behalf of Graham, myself and Rebecca, just to thank this church for lifting us up in prayer. And we're just so thankful we've been supported and surrounded. Thank you.
See, Jesus is alive. He's not dead, he's alive. We testify of it, don't we? We speak of what he's done. Has anyone else got a testimony they would like to share with us briefly, which kind of exalts the Lord and shows his wonderful works in our life?
I think the privilege of being involved in Alpha has taught me again the wonder of salvation. When we were invited by the, I don't know who was organizing it at the time, but our Farnham Home Group, we just said, well, it's your turn to do it now. And I found in my life that you can get caught by surprise by the Lord, and what might seem just a practical issue can turn into something amazing when God is moving by his Spirit in it. And for me, it was, yes, let's get stuck in, let's do that, it is our turn. So Farnham Home Group hadn't really done it very much at all. And I just found my heart was captured and swept away by the gospel all over again and the wonder of salvation. And when you get to half a century like me, you begin to look back and think of the things that God has done in your life. And you can look back in wonder, in greater wonder, at some of the things that maybe you used to run them off as verses or sing them as maybe hymns or songs, or they might even have been little ditties. We used to call them choruses. Thank goodness that era has gone and we're into something much more meaningful now. But one of the songs that has come back to me, which expresses, I suppose, the wonder of salvation, and one of the lines in it was, "Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, the grace that brought it down to man, the mighty gulf God span at Calvary." And I love that line, the love that drew salvation's plan, that God, in his eternal wisdom, before the beginning of time, thought up the whole plan of salvation. At Easter, it's particularly poignant, it's particularly strong in everybody's hearts. I know that God has done it in a fresh way for me. I'm a Christian a long, long time. The gospel is becoming fresher and fresher every day, and I just want to thank him for the revelation. It's never going to stop.
One more. Excellent.
Recently, in my job, does the job ever come, ever sort of catch you out? Does it? Guys in the job. There was a chap in the job, very fond of him, and he had his heart trouble. Just started to get heart condition. And what happened was that everyone's saying, oh yeah, you'll have to go to the doctor, you'll have to go there, you'll have to go here. And in the back of my mind, I kept on saying to him, the works of my hand command you me. Lay hands on him. Yeah, hello there. You know what I mean? And what happened was that I says that he went into hospital. And then he let him go out of the hospital and sent him home. And everyone was saying, oh yeah, Ducky we call him. Ducky's on the phone, yeah. He doesn't look bad, you know what I mean? Hello, he's going to make it. And here was the Lord saying, the works of your hand command you me. Go over there and lay hands on this guy. Does your job ever catch you out like that? Does it? People, does your family or does your neighborhood? And I have this type of I was reading, and the Lord kept on sort of, he keeps on saying that the faith that you have will move mountains. It says that the power that you have, do you know what I mean, will solve problems. And there I was, I says, yeah, come on, give me a minute. I says, so what happened was that I says that I want to go and see him. So I was praying about it, and then, do you know what happened? He rang me. He wanted me to do a small job for him. I'm a carpenter in there. And I said, this is inevitable, isn't it? This has to happen. So what happened was that I went up to his house and I was talking to him. And I'd done a little job for him. And we sat down with his family and we were having a cup of tea and all that type of stuff. And I says, I'm not going to leave this house before I lay hands on you, before I pray with you, before you get healed. I said, do you know what? I'm not going to leave this house until that noise in my head goes. That constant reminder that who we are in Christ, that constant word that keeps coming to me. I said, do you know what? This is a divine intervention. I said, this has to happen. You're going to get better. You're going to be back in work. You're going to. And he didn't look as if he was going to be back in work. He didn't look as if he. You know? And I said, but that's the thing. Faith is the evidence of things it's not seen. So we were having a cup of tea at the table, and I just says, hold on. Before I leave your house, I says, I want to pray with you. I want to lay hands on you. And he says, yeah, come on. Yeah, let's do it. So we prayed about it and gave his life to the Lord. And he said, and I started praying, and I felt that it wasn't just a habit. It wasn't just something that I had to do. There was something in me that had to be sorted, had to be said. Did you get me? I was speaking louder. And I prayed with him, and I nearly says, you're going to get that healing, whether you like it or not. I said, you're going to get better. And what happened was, you know, I nearly had him pinned to the wall, and he says, do you know what?
Don't do that.
He said, you know what? I felt that. I felt that. He's back in work. And do you know what? This is something. This has to happen. This is the stuff that sort of we're made of. And I'm just glad that, and the guys in the job that keep on saying, you know, I mean, oh yeah, hello there, I believe you went up to do the business with the man, you know.
Brilliant.
Amen. Thank but you. I want to give God the glory for that.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Thank you. Well, thank you.
It's never boring following the Lord, I'll tell you that. There's going to be plenty of good stories in this place, and there plenty are good stories because of what Christ has done. So shall we end the service now? Let's sing one more song, and then we're going to close. So please stand.
Join in your song, every nation, tribe, and tongue come together, join as one. Glory to God. Glory to God. We are the people of God. Sing your song. Sing your song.
This is a good way of getting the attention of the kids. We've actually got some Easter eggs at the front of the church in a minute. So let's just pray and thank the Lord for this morning. Lord, we thank you that we can come together to eat together, to drink together, to remember you together, to celebrate together, to come together as community together, and to be together. And we just pray that you would knit us together around the cross, that we can become more like you together, and take out into the world your wonderful resurrection power in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So the service is officially finished, but there's Easter eggs at the front for the kids, and if there are any left for the adults, but I doubt there will be any left, so come forward, children, and wait. So thanks for seeing you guys, and have a great day. So.